This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 23rd of October, 1962. The title of this lecture is 3GA Crisscross. This tape is 62 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, here we are. At what day? 23rd of October. 8012. Hoped I hadn't lost a year here since the last time I lectured to you. Well, if you're afraid of getting re-stimulated, you can leave now. Now I'm going to talk about the 3GA crisscross. I want you to carefully notice I haven't any notes. And this is not a, this is just off the cuff, because in the past many weeks I've been auditing like mad myself on research auditing, trying to pick up all of the data necessary to make it easy for you to crack cases. You should realize at first glance and at immediately that 3GA in its original form will find goals and has made first goal clears. You should recognize that we are going beyond a point of success. The problem which reaches us, however, is that some cases do not respond easily to the original 3GA. It goes up into the thousands of goals on these cases. And if you had unlimited time, you could probably, undoubtedly, using no more than these techniques contained in the original 3GA, find the PC's goal. But in view of the fact that we are few and the pre-clears are many, and because of the peculiar position of the St. Hill graduate today, in that he is looked upon to find a great many goals and do a great deal for a great many people in the field of clearing, an endless procedure is therefore inadequate to our needs. Hence you get 3GA dynamic assessment by RockSlam. That was the first upgrade and improvement of this. Now, this saved time, and this swept in the bulk of those cases that were very difficult. That is, it swept in the bulk of them. We were marching up now higher in our percentage that could be done rapidly. And the technique 3GA with the goals assessment done by dynamic assessment by RockSlam, that particular technology and those bulletins, is still valid and is still workable. And there's a lot of people sitting right in front of me whose goals were found with that particular technology. But this again failed on some cases to attain the goal rapidly. Once more, a slowdown came about on some cases. Having established all of this, we found then that the goals on some cases went out hard. It was all right, we could find the goal and all of that sort of thing, but goals went out hard. Now, what do I mean by went out hard? I mean as long as 9 hours to tiger drill out one goal which wasn't it. You see, goals were going out hard. Now, you understand as you upgrade procedure that you also sweep in the easy case and make it easier to do the easy case. You understand that? That is not an incidental benefit, but was not the primary target in the research which I've been engaged upon, don't you see? So the easy case always benefits from a resolution of the more difficult case. You'll find this is very consistent in Scientology, that once you're able to do a very, very difficult case, then you can do more easily an easy case. So once more, we are not confronted with you do 3GA ordinary, the old 3GA, on some cases, and 3GA dynamic assessment by RockSlam on some other cases, and then 3GA crisscross on just a few difficult cases. No, you would find your goal by the highest, most sweeping procedure, which at this stage of development is 3GA crisscross. And you would find your easy case more rapidly with 3GA crisscross than you would be, list me 850 goals and I'll tiger drill them, don't you see? But this requires facility and understanding on the part of the auditor. And as we march forward into these more difficult cases, I have to tell you that I myself at the moment am slightly appalled by the fact that the technology is quite complex at this particular moment. And it was more complex Friday last than it was Monday. It was more complex the Wednesday before that Friday, don't you see, and so on. But it has now gotten to a point where I can give you answers which again speed up the time involved in finding somebody's goal. Now this is all in the direction of speed up. So when you go in the direction of speed up, you demand more accurate auditing that contains the element of luck less. That's swift auditing. Now, as you understand by its title, 3GA crisscross is a direct grandchild of 3D crisscross. All 3D crisscross was itself, and had it been done by RockSlam, well, people probably would have gone on running out items happily and gone to clear on it. The only ingredient that old 3D crisscross needed was just those three words by RockSlam to make it a totally successful procedure. Now, this doesn't mean that all of the rules of 3D crisscross apply to 3GA crisscross. So we might as well just start out with a brand new set of rules and scrub those, and I'll show you the old ones, and I'll just show you, and you can recognize where these things fit in, those of you who have been trained in 3D crisscross. You find this very much to your benefit. Now, when we were doing 3D crisscross, I was giving you a constant, the students were here at that time, incidentally, there are three students here right this minute who have been beaten over the head on this, and it must sound like old times. They've just rejoined the class on a retread basis, and it just must sound like just old times to them, you know, like the wheels haven't turned at all since they've been away. But if they remember, the stress was on speed. Speed. Two things, speed and accuracy, which is involved here. And some auditor who takes 1 week of sessions, 3 hours each, to find an item on his PC isn't batting in any league that will give him any success with 3GA crisscross. In the first place, the PC's attention wears out by that time. This is a rapid activity. If I find the item and it's totally successful, it's taking me 1 hour and 10 minutes to adjudicate what is to be listed, list it, and null it to a successful, reliable item. 1 hour and 10 minutes. When I goof, and it's very possible for an auditor to goof on this, you take the wrong side of something, or something goes wrong one way or the other. When I goof, it's about 2 hours and a half. It takes longer to goof than to find a right one. It takes longer to lay an egg than it does to come up with a reliable item. But 2 hours and a half, we are still talking in the framework of a three-hour session. Now, I'm not holding 1 hour and 10 minutes up to you as how good I am and how terrible you are. It's very far from this case, because let me assure you that my research auditing during the past three or four, or worse than that, during the past 2 months, have made a citizen out of me with exclamation points, you know. I'm batting right there in your league. I found out I can make mistakes, man. And it has been very annoying to me to discover that for once in my life I'm grappling with something where judgment is not infallible. I look at this case and I say, well, that's what's to do, and I go ahead and do it, and I'm finding that 50% of the time I am wrong. All right, if that's the way it's going with me, well, stop beating your brains out trying to be 100% right. Now, those of you who have a goal to be 100% right, this is no way to achieve that goal, because a lot of the time you're going to be wrong. Now, even following all the rules, you're going to be wrong every now and then. Even following all the rules. Because the nature of the beast that you're auditing contains several little excursions this way and that. And when you're following the rock slam, you have to follow the rock slam. And if the rule gets in the road of you're following the rock slam, well, then you follow the rock slam. You understand? The road is the road of the rock slam, not the road of the rule. I can tell you how to find rock slams, how to trace them down, how to preserve them carefully, how to nurture them, and derive items from them left and right. But I am very sure at this stage of the game that I cannot tell you how to do it 100% of the time, always. Now, on any given PC, yes, you can find a rock slam, you can find the items. That's a forsworn, foregone conclusion. That part of it's licked. Yes, you can find a rock slam on a PC. There are several ways of doing it. If you don't do it one way, you can do it another way. What I'm talking about is on this one PC that you are auditing, if you expect to find an item every hour and 10 minutes of auditing, you're going to be very badly disappointed, because you very often have a nerved-up PC, and when you've missed the item, you of course then have a missed withhold, don't you? So then you have to steady down the PC, and you have to do a lot of other things which are all very interesting and all very complicated, and they all consume auditing time. And then after you've done it by the best traditions of auditing, after you have done it perfectly, you find yourself all too often, but not more than 50% of the time, unless your luck is always bad, sitting there looking at a complete skunk. No item. Everything goes out. See, you do it all perfectly, and then everything goes out. Now, I have been auditing very hard and very thoroughly, trying to whip the laws which underlie this. And the laws which underlie it are quite interesting, extremely intelligible, and very easily followed. And they will reduce, I am sure, the number of wrong turns that you make in following the rock slam, these various laws. But I know very well that they will not obviate them completely, because there are too many little lucky breaks and so forth still contained in dynamic assessment by rock slam as it is done with 3GA crisscross. Now, with that preamble and prelude to the situation, you should understand this as a procedure which, guided by good textbook auditing, actually the kind which the better auditors here are doing at this moment, done with that type of auditing, not with something that the fellow read three books and then he read half of a bulletin and then he took his E-meter in hand and he turned it on by twisting the needle, and he's not going to make it, see? He's not going to make it. This is definitely an expert's activity. But that is not all bad. That is very far from all bad. Goals finding and goals running is so fraught with disaster for a PC that it shouldn't be done by anybody but an expert. And if that expert's expertness becomes as fantastically evident as it does in 3GA crisscross, well, that just builds up your altitude. I mean, let's be crude about the thing. It puts it out of reach. This fellow's going to do this 3GA crisscross, and he's read a book, and he went halfway through the academy before he blew. And now he's going to find a goal on somebody with 3GA crisscross, and he sits there, and he looks at the meter, and for a 15th of a second, he sees a rock slam, and then he doesn't see any more rock slams. He can't find any more rock slams. And no matter what he does, he can't find any more rock slams, and the road is blocked. Because only good auditing presence will keep a rock slam on. So actually, the road is booby-trapped by bad auditing presence. Now, if you'll notice lately, I've put several booby-traps into clearing. I fixed it up so that it's very unlikely that a wrong goal would get listed. Why? Well, before, with all too much glee, people could list a wrong goal and practically spin somebody in. Well, how did we do this? Well, we say you tiger drill at the beginning of every session. Of course, that is necessary to get the items to blow, but at the same time, recognize that as a prevention against auditing a wrong goal. After you've done just so many sessions on the thing, why, the goal's going to blow up. And then you're going to have to do something to remedy the goal. Now, even when a PC's goal has been found, in many cases, this is uses of this procedure, even when a PC's goal has been found by some other method of assessment, it is all too likely, you know, no items have been found in this PC, that his bank will be too heavily charged to list easily. So with 3GA crisscross, you don't have just a goal-finding procedure. You have a procedure which finds a goal, but also which unburdens the bank so a goal can be run. Also, you have a procedure which, when the PC suddenly sticks on cops, you know, he said cops, and that was the last you ever heard him say. Tone arm went up, and he ducked, and he babbled something or other, and so on. Well, you continue his item assessment, and you will get him back in the running again. All sorts of uses, don't you see these variant uses? You heard him say cops, and cops is something, or you see him sitting there, as just happened today, if somebody's sitting there with a horrible ARC break, and the auditor finally argues him out of an item, and then the item is seen to rock slam, so the auditor, I think, opposed and represented it. Did both to the thing, and it unburdened, the case started cognizing, and the fellow started running again. You see? There was an item which he hadn't even presented, but the auditor found it and did something with it. See? That was during listing. So when do we use this procedure? Well, we use this procedure when clearing gets tough and when prep checking won't remedy it. And when do we use prep checking? When tiger drilling won't do anything for us. See, that's when you use the procedure. So you can use the procedure to find the goal. You can use the procedure to prove a goal that has been found. You can use the procedure to unburden the bank so as to make it easy to run the goal. And you can use this procedure, in addition to that, to get the PC unstuck from some item he's collided with in listing which he can't or won't confront. So you see, it has many uses. becomes a skilled activity. Now, completely aside from its uses in clearing, this, quite incidentally, adds up to the fastest game process that we have ever developed. Now, that one sort of is likely to get overlooked. You find a couple of items on somebody, you find one item on somebody that is a real, honest-to-goodness, rock-slamming item, and you change that case. And you've changed it observably. Now, nobody's been finding items against OCAs and IQ tests and that sort of thing, but I'm sure that you would see some rather startling changes occur in IQ and profile as a result of finding an item. Now, look at what this puts in your hands. Supposing in a problems intensive, you could get 20 points of gain on an OCA or an APA, and that took 25 hours. Recognize that the same gain is probably obtainable, or a greater gain obtainable, in the finding of one item in a space of less than 3 hours, if you're lucky. Now look at your case resurgence. Look at that in time. Now, in view of the fact that we're using this to find goals and actually clear people, that little point is liable to be overlooked, because we're not using it to make a PC feel good. And yet they do. They do. Now, let's tackle this thing from the beginning. I've given you its various uses and applications. Let's tackle it from the beginning on the subject of nomenclature. We're going to get our nomenclature all mixed up. Well, why do we say crisscross? And that's just because you go from one channel to the other channel, and then you go back to the other channel. What do we mean by channels? Well, we mean what the PC's been and what the PC is opposed. By saying crisscross, well, we get the idea of a channel from A over to B and from B back over to A, and we're going back and forth between the PC, what he has been, and the PC's enemies, what they have been. So we've got a game going here of the enemy and the PC. Now, I refer you to the lectures on the GPM. It is vital to understand the composition of the GPM as contained in those lectures. I'm not going to repeat them at this particular time. The composition of the GPM, then, has much greater scope and complexity than what I'm giving you right now. But essentially, it's composed of them and us. That doesn't matter on what dynamics these occur. It's a game of them and us. Now, our nomenclature gives us the them as opposition to the terminal. Actually, not opposition terminals. Let me show you the packaging of this word. It was originally opposition to the PC's terminal, and then became opposition terminal, just because people got tired of saying the other words, and then became opterm. And that's the word which you should know it by. That's them. An opterm. That is what the PC is again. It's seldom either grammatical or delicate enough to be against. He's agin it. Brutally, violently, and directly. It ain't him. That he knows. He may not know much, but he knows he ain't it. That's down deep and reactively. But analytically, because he's supposed to be a reasonable being in a reasonable world, he very often collides with it and finds himself playing footsies with being it. And this is a sickening experience to him the whole way. Now, in view of the fact that he begins by, when in life, after occlusions of the GPM have set in, and he can't remember who he was, and he thinks he's only lived one life, and he thinks he's a, oh, I don't know, he thinks he's a Baptist, and a, he thinks he's this and that, and he's some nationalist. He thinks he's essentially an earthman. Oh, wow, you know. This guy's occluded. Anyhow, there he is, and he walks around in life, and he gets this feeling, you know. He's got enemies, you know. He knows this. And he has various ways of handling this. One is to be them. Another way is to be interesting to them. Another way is to make everything peaceful so they won't jump him. And the reason he has to have all of these rationales, of which they're just infinite numbers, is because he can't identify what the enemy is. He merely knows that something in the environment is hostile. He can't say what it is. Well, I'll give you an example. The fellow thinks that all publishers are against him. All publishers. That means newspaper publishers, book publishers, everything. You know, they're all against him, and that's for sure. And he's got an uneasy feeling, so he goes through life solving problems as to how to get along with publishing companies, publishers, you see. He tries to be a writer. He does this, he does that. He worries about it all the time. And one day, you give him 3GA crisscross, and the item turns up, school copybook. That's all he's against. School copybooks. Right? They're a deadly enemy. And immediately, the identification between school copybooks and all books, and all publications, and all publishers ceases to exist. So he knows now, when you found this item, that he's against school copybooks. That's what he's against. He feels much more comfortable, even though they still knock his head off. You understand? He no longer identifies in this particular subject. So the world looks like a friendlier place to him. Well, so you get A equals A equals A. You get a whole unknown existence, eight dynamics worth, piled on this one Thetan's head until you start separating it out. Because at the same time, he didn't know what he was being that had to oppose or was threatened by school copybooks. And then he finally finds out what he is being. He's being a student. It's not his military career that is giving him pains and aches, you see. It's not his life as a writer that is giving him pains and aches, you see. It's not his life as this and that as that and the sphere of influence here and there and all that sort of thing. No, it's just the fact that as a student, he is again copybooks. Now, 3GA crisscross would make it possible to sort out the op term, copybook, and the terminal, student. So you've got these two things. These are terms. Terminal, that means the PC, experiential track, what he has been, his beingnesses. And the op term, what his beingnesses have opposed, or the oppositions that have made him assume his beingnesses. We've got these two things. We've got the them and us reduced to op-term and terminal. Now, these are distinctly different things, and life is made, is usually very simple on this. The auditor sails along, and everything is fine, and so forth, and he's been finding terminals, and he's been finding op-terms, and everything is going according to Hoyle. And he knows which they are, even when the PC is confused about it. Because the terminal invariably turns on pain, and the op term invariably turns on sensation. Sensation being motion, pressure, misemotion, and pain simply being the sharp impulse or dull impulse of heat, cold, and electrical. Heat is pin. Cold is pin, and bzzzt is pin. That's all pain. But the PC is getting dizzy, and he's getting sensations, and he is crying and feels griefy about it all, and anything on the emotional scale. Or there's effort, pushing his chest in. He's got pressure against his eyeballs and so forth. That's all sensation, commonly called sen, S-E-N. All right. Those are very easily identifiable. Opterm equals sen, term equals pn. And that's all there is to it. They're just those two things, and that's the way they are. And you got it all sorted out. You got it all straight. And the last three PCs you audited, you didn't have any trouble with. And when you get to the fourth PC, while he has sen, he talks about us. And while he has pn, he talks about them. And he doesn't know which is him and which is them. And everything you find has some pin and some sin on it. This should happen to you, see, as the auditor. You find his rock slam on, consider committing overts against copybooks. Slam, you know. Ouch, he says, everything is fine. He's had pain himself while facing the copybook. But then, of course, because you're dealing only with the copybook, you turn on sen. So you say copybook, copybook, copybook to him, and he goes zzzz, he gets dizzy, and so forth, you see. You say to him, what would commit overts on a copybook, and he gets ouch. See? You're all sorted out. You're all straight as the auditor. You know which side it is. And oddly enough, you will never really make a mistake on it because you can sooner or later sort it out as to which it is. But your fourth, every fourth PC or something like that is not going to be able to get this through his own thick skull. Which is him and which is them? See, doubt remains in his mind because there's pain and there's sensation on a copybook, and there's pain and there's sensation on a student. And one day he starts talking about us copybooks and those dirty students marking me all up. Now, if you've got the nomenclature and the rules straight, why, you're all set. Because you yourself won't get mixed up on it. The auditor is actually never mixed up on it because he can make some simple tests. The PC is busy talking about us copybooks, and all you have to do is say to him, well, what would commit overt on a copybook? And he says, ouch. Well, you know copybook. You know at once that copybook is an opterm. Because committing overts against it can give him an ouch if he lists it. See, so the list of things committing overts against copybooks gives him pain. But listing copybooks and what they represent gives him sing. And he goes, buzz, buzz, sensation. Get the idea? And you say to him forcefully, copybooks, copybooks, copybooks. And he says, stop that, you're making me dizzy. You see how this is sorted out? You say to him, student, 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 and he says, ouch, stop that, you're giving me an awful pain in my head. See? At once, you're advised. Well, don't blame him if out of his confusion and the GPM and so forth, he can't make it out. He doesn't know whether he's a copybook or a student, and he gets all mixed up about it. Why does he get so mixed up? Because when he says copybook, he's liable to get pain. I remember that lecture I was telling you about. He's in the wrong terminal situation. And when he says student and so forth, he's liable to get sensation. Why? Because he has to be outside of the beingness of student to gaze at a student in his bank, which of course puts him into the copybook. You understand? So the PC, trying to sort this out from himself, gets all mixed up because sometimes he doesn't exteriorize from student while saying student and gets pain, And sometimes he exteriorizes from student, you see, when he's saying student and gets sen. And sometimes when he is saying student, he backs into copybook, don't you see? And then when he says copybook, he backs into student and gets pain. You see, and he just gets terribly confused about all of this. So realize that the PC can get confused about what all these things are quite often. He's usually straight about it, but don't expect him to be very reliable as to which is which. You're the person who knows as the auditor. The auditor knows. The auditor can make a simple test. He's got two or three items there, and he wants to know which side these items are on. He just says them to the PC, and one will produce pain, one will produce sin. And then he knows which side of the fence he's on, because, of course, he's an exterior source of command, so he tends to push the student back into the valence that he is calling. So the student experiences that valence. Well, this is not something that has to be overstressed too hard, but becomes very important to the auditor when he starts to list goals. This becomes extremely important to the auditor. Because if you are trying to list goals against an op-term, you use the lists 1 to 10 that were contained in the original dynamic assessment by Roxlam bulletins. See? If you were an op-term, what goal would be impossible to achieve? You know, that kind of thing. That's listing goals against an op-term. Listing goals against a terminal is quite different. The basic rule there is this... What would be the goals of a student, you see? A terminal student, you say, what would be the goals of a student? Give me 20, 30, 40, 50 goals of a student. PC's goal is likely to be in that list if you carry this far enough. So you see, you ask different ways to get a goal, but you could use either a terminal or an op term to get a goals list from. You see that? So you have to know which it is. And you don't take the PC's say-so, because he's liable to say, us copybooks. You follow that? You've got to make a test. Well, the test is the pain or sensation. You say what it is, or you write a list representing it, and the PC gets pain. You know you're handling a terminal, and you write what it is and write a list breaking it down, representing it. And the PC gets sin, you know you've got a list of op terms, and that item being part of that list, of course, is an op term. You understand that? PCs will throw you a curve every once in a while by turning on 50-50 of each on everything. That's the original mixed up kid from Suppressville, see? So there's your, those are the trials of an auditor. You say copybook, and the left side of his body gets under tremendous pressure while the right-hand side gets burning hot. And you say student, and they reverse. Which side of it is him? Well, oddly enough, you could say, well, you find more items, it will eventually work itself out. Well, that proved here not to be the case about 2-3 days ago. Proved not to be the case at all. We had terminal rocket reading, and PC didn't know whether it was pain or sensation. He had both. We had something rocket reading. Some item was rocket reading, and so we had list goals. So we just did both. We treated it as a terminal, and we treated it as an op term, and went over the whole thing, and of course it worked out in the final analysis because only the goal stayed in. Got the idea? In other words, we treated it as both. What goals would it have? We used it in a list of 20 goals all by itself as the word, and then we did a list 1, I think, and a list 6. I don't even know if they got that far, but we were prepared to do it both as an op term and a terminal, and sort the goals out of the total list remaining, because, of course, we were dealing with less than 100 goals. You see that? In other words, you've got even if you became totally unstuck and didn't know whether it was a terminal or an op term, you still have a remedy, which is just treat it as one and then treat it as the other. You're not dealing with vast quantities of material. Now, more terminology. A rocket reed. A rocket reed doesn't have any definite size because, of course, we're dealing right now with two different marks of E-meters, the Mark IV and the Mark V. And you haven't seen a Mark V yet, but I think they'll be here in a couple of days. You've seen them on your TV demonstrations and so forth. And, of course, it gives a liver, longer reed. It gives the same kind of a reed as the Mark IV, but it is a livelier, longer-looking reed. But it looks otherwise exactly the same. You could say this, it's longer on a Mark V than on a Mark IV. To tell you how long a rocket reed is would be adventurous, because rocket reeds have been half a dial. And I've never seen a rocket reed that was valid an eighth of an inch. You see some go, will dwindle down to about an eighth of an inch, and kind of look at, but you can't tell if it's a rocket reed or not. So I'll give you the two limits. The biggest one I've ever seen was half a dial, and the smallest I have ever seen was greater than an eighth of an inch. Now, what's a rocket reed? If you take three coins, a big coin and two small coins, and put them on a roughed-up surface in a row. Small coin 1, big coin 2, small coin 3, all in a row. Their rims are all touching. And you take small coin 1 and wrap big coin 2, a sharp wrap. You will see coin 3 do a rocket reed. In musical note, it would be a fast decay. Call a rocket reed because it takes off like a rocket and slows down. It goes off the pad with a burst. Probably more like a catapult. It goes, pew! And no other reed looks like it. There isn't any other reed like a rocket reed. I predicted that this thing would exist. We were fooling around with oscilloscopes. It was quite remarkable because tiger drilling had not then been released. And we had only seen goals up to that time tick and fall, you see. But when any goal was tiger drilled out, why, sure enough, this predict. I said a goal, being the basis of a bank, would probably read differently electronically than any other read. I couldn't see how it could do otherwise. And we dreamed this up and saw it on an oscilloscope, and it looks very funny on an oscilloscope. It apparently goes way up and way up above the center line and then way down above the center line and then back to the center line again. It makes a very peculiar pattern, sort of a short-legged Z stood on end. And this very peculiar thing was seen first on an oscilloscope. Now, on a meter, it turned up on a meter, and as soon as any goal was well drilled, well tiger drilled, and very smooth, and so forth, it would consistently and continuously rocket reed. You'd say it, and it'd give an instant rocket reed. It looks quite different. It's an amazing phenomenon that it would read that way. Now, it isn't a fall, and the only time you can make a mistake with it is on the first leg of a rock slam. And once in a blue moon, an unfinished rock slam will be at just at that triggered position that when you say something, the first part of the rock slam will fire. Now, that really isn't a rocket reed because it doesn't go off with a spurt and do a fast decay, but it does such an energetic flash that you can be taken by surprise by the thing. That's the first leg of a rock slam. The next time you say it, it probably does it in reverse. Now, a rock slam very often looks like a reverse rocket read when it first starts out. But once more, that isn't really a rocket read because it doesn't give you the very rapid beginning and the very slow end. I know every once in a while I've been startled, or was before I got used to it, was startled occasionally. I'd see a rock slam start and think I was looking at a rocket read, you see, and then say the item again and then see the rock slam finish itself and say, ah, E meter. Now, rocket read. You think, well, that's just more language to learn and so forth. Well, it isn't covered in E meter essentials because it was discovered after E meter essentials was written. And it is itself, definitely. Now, rock slam. That's very interesting. Because the word dirty needle here gives you a curve. We have unfortunately developed in our midst a homonymic word. Love that, don't you? Homonymic. One explanatory double word phrase that means two things. And that's why you may have trouble with this thing called a dirty needle. You'll find auditors trying to get over the heading of this saying, well, it was an instant dirty needle. Well, in actual fact, this is what a dirty needle really is, although I don't expect to stamp out its use with just a few words here, because I've already defined it and had everybody fall from grace, and I hear them using it, and I'm afraid it's gone too deep into the language now. The original dirty needle was a buzz, 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 that was happening with the needle sufficiently consistently that you couldn't pick a reed out of the middle of this guy's needle. In other words, it was a bad, small, sudden, continuous needle pattern that made it impossible to read the meter. And that was dirty needle. If I remember rightly, it had another name at that time, but I've forgotten what it was. It perished. Nobody used it very much. Scratchy needle was being used at that time. Well, for some reason or other, scratchy needle didn't survive, but dirty needle did. And that really means a consistent pattern of little tiny bzzz and bzzz and bzzz and bzzz and up and down the needle face, you know, up and down the face of the dial. And just about the time it's laid off for a minute, you see. It's not doing that now. And you're going to say, to catch, bzz, 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 bzz. You're saying, all right, now, have I missed a whip? Watch it carefully. Yeah, well, I see what its pattern is, and now if I say anything that is meaningful, you say to yourself, it'll disturb the pattern I see in front of me. All right. Have I missed a whip? Oh, well, that's doing something else now. Have I missed a withhold on you? Oh, I say it red. I don't know. Well, that is the bane of 3GA all through the line, has been the dirty needle. Because the confounded thing gives us everything but a read. Now, it is actually a tiny rock slam. And it is caused by, just as a rock slam is, by OW. Only we call it invalidate, fail to reveal. You see these little bzzz and bzzz and bzzz and bzzz on the fellow's meter. He's invalidated something or he has failed to reveal something, one or the other. But the odd part of it is he very often has invalidated something, he has failed to reveal it, and he's now protesting you're asking him about it. So very often, protest is the better entering button than either fail to reveal or invalidate, even though it is. Now, an auditor with lots of experience can take a look at this thing, knowing the PC he's operating on, of course, and he can say, oh, this guy's just picked up a missed withhold. See, I've just missed a withhold on this PC because now here goes, this needle was clean and everything's fine, and now it's a dirty needle. Well, that's its usual use. Now, he can say, well, if I missed a withhold on you or something like that, and the PC gives it to him after some argument, and after that the needle's clean. Or it's an accumulation of these things, but you'll find out it's more often when you can't clean it up at once, it's more often just protest, just common old garden variety protest. It also, by the way, if you've missed and failed to complete a list and you've left the list all unfinished and you went on and you missed the item and so forth, after that you get... Also, wonderfully enough, you can sweat your head off trying to turn off one of these things on a PC. All during a prep check, it was always like this. You could never get the rudiments straight on this PC. It's always like this. And, you know, it's sort of like out amongst Homo sapiens, it's halitosis that loses you friends. And in Scientology, it's having a dirty needle. No, after a while, nobody will audit you, you know. He's got a dirty needle to hell with him. And oddly enough, on two occasions on chronically dirty needles, I have seen them turn off with the first item found by dynamic assessment by Roxlam. And they just vanished, and I see them only now when the PC really does have a withhold magnitude or something like that. That's interesting, isn't it? In other words, 3GA crisscross will blow up this dirty needle phenomena. And you can expect the PC who has a dirty needle is giving you a hard time to keep on having it until you find the first reliable item. All right, let's continue here with this Roxlam. Now, when you get an instant dirty needle, that means your instant read is bzzzt. See, it's a bzzzt. Now, how big is that bzzzt? And people are always coming up to me and expecting me to translate thought into mensuration, English type. And I will confess to you that every once in a while I get tired of being badgered and I will toss something off like a half an inch or a quarter of an inch, you know. But the truth of the matter is it varies by the meter and it varies by the meter setting. Now, a Mark V meter at 128 sensitivity... A dirty needle looks like the first cousin to a real Roxlam because it's pretty broad. And now you take it down to sensitivity 16, and it's this little eighth of an inch bzzz, see, that you're used to on a Mark IV. But it's a tiny needle disturbance of great rapidity. Actually, what it is a small Roxlam. Auditors are always saying to me, hopefully, well, I found a lot of little dirty needles on the list, and can I take those? Aren't they really a rock slam? You know, please, Ron, say I found an item. Well, I can't tell you found an item if you haven't. The answer is no. You see? Well, how big is the smallest dirty needle? Well, how long is a short piece of string? This is one of those things. This is something that comes by experience. And frankly, I have never taken a ruler and sat there over an A-meter trying to measure the width of one. But I will tell you this. I have never seen one narrower than about an inch or an inch and a quarter by my guess. See? I've never seen one smaller than that that meant anything to a PC. PC didn't cognite if you're... Rock slams were smaller than that and did cognite if they were bigger than that. So, but what meter is this? Oh, I don't know. Pick a meter. Actually, it's not reducible to that degree, don't you see? A rock slam then becomes a dirty needle when it ceases to carry with it a cognition on a found item. But it is a matter of size. I'd say if I finally assessed everything out to an eighth of an inch rock slam, I think I would just tear the list. I would, even after I tiger drilled it and did everything I could drill with it, and I'd polish it all up, and I'd work like mad and working my brain to the bone trying to make this thing rock slam, and it wouldn't do any more than an eighth of an inch. I think I wouldn't have spent that much time on it. I think I would take the list, and you, what you do is you take the list and you fold it over once, you see? And you tear across the middle, and then you put the two pieces together again, and you tear them again. Leave it in the guy's record to show that it didn't go any place is the proper professional thing to do, but my impulses are more savage than this sometimes. I seldom throw them in the PC's face now. I mean, I've gotten myself under good control that way. Dump E-meter tables on the PC sometimes, but not often. But it's got to be accompanied by the cognition, see? But a rock slam is a rock slam, and I would say that the graduating point on a Mark IV is probably sensitivity 16, maybe plus or minus half an inch or something like that as the smallest possible rock slam, but I've never seen one that small that meant anything. It's always been up there around an inch and a quarter. Now, a rock slam is a nervous, agitated flinging to and fro of the needle. And now I have been compounded with the felony of a slow rock slam. Or you could say a stage 4 needle is a very slow rock slam. But a slow rock slam. Well, there are rock slams inside of rock slams. That I've seen. I've seen a needle slamming while it was slamming. That's very interesting, because as it sweeps up the dial, it does three or four bzzz slams of incredible speed and frequency as it's traveling an inch and a half very rapidly. That thing really looks savage. It looks like a thetan on an electric chair that he doesn't know whether to lean back or sit down. You can just see this guy bouncing out of his head and all over the universe. This thing is a very frantic action. To say that some rock slams are slower than others is true, but that brings us up. How slow is a slow rock slam? I don't know. That's something you'll have to answer by experience. But a rock slam of the speed of a grandfather clock ticking from left to right would, in my opinion, be suspect. That's a too slow. There can't be such a thing as a too fast rock slam, however, because it just simply develops rock slams inside of rock slams, and it looks more and more frantic. But it is a frantic needle, and sometimes thetans are more slowly frantic than other times. And once more, the index is it accompanied by cognition? Now, those basically are your fundamental terms that you're using and doing business with 3GA crisscross. There really are no fancier terms, one kind or another, than those things. Because all other terms are very, very explanatory, such as oppose is simply you oppose it. And represent is you simply represent it, and so forth. And to go into that and call that a lot of terminology is practically a waste of time. So as all intents and purposes, I've given you the lexicon of 3GA crisscross and its various terms, except one, item. Now you've got detested person in 3GA by dynamic assessment by Rock Slam. You have detested person, you have dynamic, and you have item. And that's fine, and that belonged to that procedure. And I'm very happy to have it belong to that procedure, because in 3GA crisscross, they're all items. If you wrote it on the list, it was an item. And if you found it, it was an item. It's still an item. And when it's obviously a provable item, capable of delivering up further items, You call it a reliable item. So you don't have to worry about detested persons and dynamics and items and all that sort of thing. You just call them items, just call anything an item. Also, in listing goals out, the PC is giving you items, don't you see? So it's just all items. What do we mean by an item? We mean it's a terminal, whether a species or ally of opterms or a species or ally of terminals. See, they're all items. And we've got to have a word that embraces both. So a reliable item, then, is an item which the PC got after the list was nulled, and it's reliable and can be used to obtain further items. Well, that is a reliable item. It's also called, and you will call it, I am sure, the PC's item, even when it is an op term. Go ahead and call it what you please, but just recognize that there is a sloppy use of this word item, and there's no reason for too many terms on top of item. You've passed into 3GA crisscross, call them all items. People know what you're talking about. You say, I found an item. Obviously, you have proven an item out on a PC, you see. You could also say, I wrote 400 items on one list. See, it sort of differentiates itself. There is no other terms to be defined in this except auditor. And an auditor in 3GA crisscross is somebody who can refine reliable items on the PC. Of course, that's a joke. But I make my point. It really takes an auditor to run this one. Well, I will cover in the next lecture now the more amusing vagaries and departures from grace that we can have as we follow the rock slam. Thank you.